Hi, everybody. Welcome to the phone call.
Hi, Dave. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Sending lots of love. We have Emily over here, too. Say hi to Emily.
Hi, Emily.
She makes it all happen. So, you guys, this is a phone call for all certification courses and also for the Life Tools. So, you're welcome to ask any questions regarding those courses. And Emily, what else should we, what are the rules we have here for the call?
And that's it. There's no readings. You can always call James for a reading. And
I just finished reading. I can't do anymore.
Just press star 6 to get in the queue. And I think we'll get started. Let me put, hold on a sec. Let me put up. So just press star 6 to get in the queue. Line up for questions.
And we tell them too that, you know, even every question is important, and then you can really learn from someone else's question. So listen carefully, because I don't believe in accidents. So listen to the question, because it's going to help you too. Okay. Ready to begin?
Perfect. All right, let's go. So we have a mystery person. Irina is the name now coming up at 513-607.
Oh, that's me. Hello.
Hi, Irina. Can you hear me?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Wonderful. I have a quick question about the Psychic Intuitive course that I'm taking, and it was on the energy centers and opening them up. I love being able to open up the seven main chakras to their full percentage. I was taught many a moon ago that you can almost think of the energy centers of going from 0 to 100%. But my first energy center teacher told me I was running so many other people's energy. She taught me how to shut down my first and second energy center to like 5% or 10% instead of always having it wide open. So I'm curious as to your input, because over the years I felt that hasn't felt so good. Your input on being, you know, running at full percent, let's say, and then, like you said, when you shut the shade so that you don't pick up on other people's information, or let's say if you were connecting with loved ones who crossed over, when you shut that shade, let's say to the third chakra, or I'm sorry, to the crown chakra, if you're shutting down, or just any kind of insight to help me with this.
I'll be happy, and I understand exactly what you're asking, and a lot everyone here also could benefit. So in that course, Psychic Intuitive work, I talk about running your energy, correct? Running the energy from the earth energy, and then bring the cosmic energy down, and then send it out to the heart chakra, and it falls like an arc down to the earth. And that's filtering out, that's coming down from the sky, up from the earth, and really cleansing out those areas, those centers, and also the space around us. But really we're concentrating on those centers, all the seven centers, the seven main centers, to filter out any debris, any other person's energy, any psychic dirt we've picked up walking around, and to really keep our energy up. So that's very important that you do that all the time. Like I do at least 10 times a day when I'm walking the dogs, I'm driving my car, when I'm in the elevator. So just having that awareness really helps, okay? You yourself can actually sit in the quiet and go through each chakra, the red, the orange, go through each one and sit with each chakra point, okay? And you can actually have a pad in your hand and you can write down what you pick up as you're sitting in that center. So for instance, let's say you sit in the red center. I have a meditation, which I'll share with you here. It's what you can do. You know, you go to the first chakra, that red chakra, and it's like a big swimming pool. And you put yourself, like, imagine you're a miniature person, and you're swimming through the red water of this first chakra. And what you want to do is you want to set that the intention that you're going to become aware of any energies in that center that are other people's energy, are any limitations, any insecurities, any fears, any way you're feeling not being supported. So all what the first chakra properties are, anything that still comes up in that space, or even, you know, you might see people's faces who are holding on to you for their security, let's say, okay?
So
go through each chakra and sit with that and write it down. And what you want to do is that you run your energy, and what I do with the breath, I'll breathe in this beautiful light, and I go into that first chakra and I blow out any of those energies that I felt, that blow right out. And I want to make sure that chakra point is clear, pretty clear and red, as bright as red as you can. Do that with each chakra point. That's fantastic. I'm not sure, sweetheart, about 100%, 1%. I don't know about that. That's not how I work.
I
do, sweetheart, is I each person, there are some people that have much more cosmic energy, that have a lot more cosmic energy than earth energy. And those tend to be people that are a little bit not grounded enough. So I work more on bringing the earth energy up and, you know, in their head, kind of like maybe have 60% earth energy, 40% cosmic energy. So it's just for each person very different. Now, really when we say open your chakras and close your chakras, that's a good thing to do when you're working as a medium or in the psychic realm. So what you're doing is you're taking it, what you're really doing, honey, you don't really, they can't really close the chakra points, but what you're really doing is you're taking away the attention or the intention of that space. You're taking it away, which means that you're closing it in your mind. You're not, that space is closed in your mind in that you're not open. You're taking your attention away from it because you're finished.
Okay.
So when you're opening up, really what you do is you're putting attention back. You're opening up your mind back to that space to use it. So that's really what it's about. Okay? And I just use those symbolisms as far as a shade or turning the light bulb off, just so you can get the awareness of you're taking the attention away from that center. Does that help?
Wonderful. Oh, it helps so much. Thank you so very much. What a
joy
this is.
You're very welcome, Rena. Thanks for calling, sweetheart. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have a good question on the Facebook page from Kelly in the Healer Convocation. It looks like Renee in Mediumship 1 also has a similar question. James, they want to know, do you have any recommendations on how to best maintain your power center? So I think she means staying your power. She said she's really good at building it up and keeping it up for a bit, and then suddenly she feels her energy or person trying to take it away.
You can do many different types of techniques. And again, running the energy is the most important thing. But you might do those techniques that I talk about, which is in the shower in the morning, putting that light through within you and around you and taking away any energy which is not of your level, that's holding you back, that's other people's energy, that's foreign energy. And see that go out of your fingertips and your toes, like I call it Hershey syrup, going down to the drain. Also, I do a lovely one which could help her too if she has other people's energy on her, which is I have like a vacuum and the hose goes down to Mother Earth and you vacuum each chakra point, then you get the whole auric field and you really begin to see fragments of other people's energy, thought forms, limited beliefs. You'll see a whole bunch of fear stuff. It all comes up. That's a way of doing that. But the other thing about keeping happy, being centered, is really living in the moment, because if you're in the past, there's going to be fear. Fear can't be in the present moment, and the future is yet to be. So to be happy in the moment, live for the moment, and do something that you enjoy, have compassion with. Each day, someone should take time to do something with passion, with that they really love to do. That's the best advice I can give, because love is our natural vibration, and the further we get away from that, the more unhappy we will be, the more uncentered we'll feel. So bringing yourself in the mind, the body, the spirit, back to that loving energy, however you can do that, whether it's doing something you enjoy, gardening, singing, art, whatever it might be, that's really the best remedy.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Bridget with a WS.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, James. I have a question. I was in a little course before yours, and he told me I was ready for a mediumship course, but I think I was far off from that. I think I probably should have did the psychic first, but I've been going through the videos, but I get to that spirit guide, and I try and try. No matter what I do, it seems like I just can't get it. Like sometimes I feel like I'm close, but I'm just not doing it yet. Should I just keep practicing, or am I doing something wrong, or?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I tell a lot of my students who call on these phone calls or in person. And I don't know if you heard this before, Bridget, but it really will help your development, whether it's psychic development or mediumship development or healing, is to really sit in the stillness of your being every day. So for 15 minutes a day, can you find 15 minutes a day each day? Is it possible?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, there's your answer. Yeah. So you have commitment.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you're really serious about doing it, you got to commit 15. I mean, honey, 15 minutes is nothing. Come on.
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding. Right.
So 15, and I'm just saying 15. You can go longer, but the minimum 15 minutes. And I say sit in the closet. Go sit in the closet. Sit in the dark. So you want to sit in a space where you're not being interrupted. Don't bring your phone in there. No family. No dogs. No one. No. So you've got to shut the outside world out, and you're gonna sit. I say the closet because that's easier to sit in. You can sit in the bathroom, something that's dark. You know, you gotta be in the dark. sit for 15 minutes in the quiet, and you can work on your breathing, breathing in for four and out four, breathing in four and out four, and just do that and just sit quietly. And I guarantee you, within probably 5 to 7 minutes, you'll start to feel a certain way like you probably never felt before. And you'll begin to have a relationship with the inside of yourself. It's your soul self. And you'll begin to understand things that way. It gets you out of your head, sweetheart, because you're very much in your head, Bridget, and a lot of people start off are in their heads. So it brings you back really to your heart, and that's where you want to be. You want to be in your heart, your soul. That's where your soul is located. And you want to go there. You want to be in that soul space. So if you can do that 15 minutes a day, that was a fantastic way to start. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you.
Good luck, sweetheart.
Thank you. One quick question. You said something on a video last night about you don't do lives, that you don't think it's appropriate. I just wanted to know if that's just the way you feel or why is that?
But I didn't hear the first part. What did you say? What's the first one?
We don't do the live readings on Facebook.
You can't do anything on Facebook. No. Oh, I was on the Facebook Live. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Facebook Live? Yeah. I can't do readings on Facebook Live because there's no way of doing the readings on Facebook Live because I have, like, you know, 3,000 people jumping in. So I can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why. That's one reason why. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Let's go back to the phone so everybody can answer my questions. Okay, another anonymous person.
We love that.
Hi, thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome. What's your name?
I'm sorry?
What's your name?
This is Dory.
Dory, I want to call you Dory, not anonymous. Okay, Dory. Okay. Hi,
Dory, definitely. Sounds a lot better. I'm taking the Life Tools course, and it's the first course I've ever done anything like that.
What do you think?
And it was with... it's really good advice. I'm getting new things from it, and the reason why I took the course was to have the reading call with you. But of course, there's a lot more that I'm getting from the course, which is great.
a lot more. And how far are you into it?
In the last lesson, so lesson 7.
Okay, and then later on, if you feel you want to, the 28-day transformation is kind of like one step up from what you just did this life course. So that's something also later on you might want to look at because it's pretty intense and pretty great. But you gotta commit every single day for it because it's a progressive build up. Good. So
So the reading call was definitely very good. I wish I didn't expect to get choked up in there, but I did. So you should call me the cat lady. You said something during the reading call, and I was wondering if you had any resources maybe that you could point me to. You were able to connect to my cat Luna, and you said that in the very beginning, you said, "Wow, she's someplace that we all wish we would be."
Wow.
And I was wondering what you if I heard that correctly. I hope so. And if you had anything in any of your books or other courses where you talked more about these, you know, maybe different places that there are in the when
you
pass
on.
Wow,
good question, honey. That's a really, really, really good question. And of course, I have no memory now. But
it was a month ago, so yeah.
I remember what I get in a reading, so that's pretty cool. But I'm just trying to think of which book it would be. Like Reaching to Heaven was my second book, and that's a pretty good book about talking about different realms, I guess, there. But there's also a book which I did called Growing Up in Heaven, and that's a really cool book in that I wrote it originally for they wrote it, with children that pass through the spirit world. But the children talk about all the different realms and the places that they go to, what they do on the other side. So that might help you. That might be great. But also, if you're interested in animals, there are a lot of great animal books out there that you can find on Amazon. Amelia Kincaid is a very good animal communicator. And also, of course, the pet psychic. Sonia Fitzpatrick is the best pet psychic I've ever met and known, and she's a good friend. And you might want to look on Amazon. Her book is fabulous. She has 2 books, I believe. Fabulous. You'd love those. So I think that might be better for you. That's my advice. Okay?
Okay. Yes, you said Amelia Kincaid. Is that the first lady's name?
Yeah, Amelia Kincaid. And there's also another girl, Denise, and I forget her last name. Denise. Emily, you don't remember her, do you? Denise something.
Oh, McKinnon?
Yes, very good.
Denise. Oh, yeah. I got an all.
Danielle McKinnon. Right, Danielle McKinnon, okay. Amelia Kincaid, okay. Danielle McKinnon, and Sonia Fitzpatrick is the grand dame of everybody.
Okay. Yeah, I've read. I found Sonia's book at the library, and I read that one too. When I lost her, so
she's great. She's
everybody.
Really great.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, everybody has their own little thing. If I can ask a question about lesson six, but if you don't have time, I can.
That's okay. We do one question per person, but go on.
Lesson six is about your relationship with money. And so
How's yours?
It's fine. I have a hard time spending money on myself, I guess. So that was a big chunk of change that I spent to myself to take the course, but it was because I really wanted to hear about Luna. So she's like my driving force. And so I was wondering if there's a way to have, if you can give me advice about getting more of a balance, because every time I spend, I'm thinking about spending something, you know, I take care of all my basic needs and everything like that, but nothing like luxurious. So I always think like, oh, you know, if I were to, you know, spend, you know, $200 on this, or instead of staying at a basic hotel that's, you know, somewhere, okay, staying at a luxury hotel, I think of like, well, that could, you know, purchase so many, you know, pet food or spay neuters, et cetera.
All right. So here we go. Yep. So you definitely got to take the 28-day transformation course, please.
Okay.
I don't have these problems. But I also want you to do like, you could do it in three different ways. You could write down money figures, like $100, $500,000, and write down what you do with the money, right? And then if you want to, and write something extravagant, okay? Like, for, I'm going to the Mexico retreat. Why don't you come with me on the soul retreat in March? Okay? And if you say, well, I don't have enough money, why don't you have enough money? So I want you to find out what's holding you back from your self-worth. Why do you not feel you're worthy to receive? Why aren't you worthy to receive that great dinner, to go to that great resort, to go to a Broadway show, to go to do things for yourself? So there's got to be something there. So maybe you can write a little story about it, maybe from the beginning of childhood to present day, and see where the issues are that hold you back from a self-worth about spending on yourself.
Okay.
All right, that'll get you started. Thanks, Dory.
Okay, yeah, I almost feel guilty asking that question, but.
Stop it. Okay, love you. Bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, James, this follows up. You mentioned your book for kids, Beverly. Oh, wait, it's not Beverly. Hold on, let's go to the other page. I have multiple pages open. Bridget wants to know, she's a mediumship level one. Her children, 8, 11, and 13, want to learn mediumship. Should I ask them to wait until they're older and think about it, or should I encourage them to learn now?
What I would do is get the book Looking Beyond. It's the one I wrote for children, for parents to teach the children. And I would have them do just simple things. I would have them first really, it's great when their kids, because they're still open, really have them work with the psychic realm first. What their knowingness. Let's develop the psychic first, that really strong sense of their gut and honoring that gut feeling. I would do that for at least 2 years with those kids. I'd play games with them. I'd set things up for them to do. That's all using your intuition. And they will love it. Kids will have fun with it. So that's the first step. After 2 years of developing their intuition in fun ways, and I write a lot about it in Looking Beyond, but there are other books also for kids, psychic children. But that's what I would do for the next 2 years.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have a mystery caller at 617-966.
Hi, this is Chrissy. How are you?
Okay, Trace, are you in Massachusetts?
Chrissy, yes, I am.
Obviously, I'm psychic. Okay.
You're good. So I've already taken the life tools for highly sensitive people,
right,
and that was really awesome, so helpful.
Right.
I do a lot of energy work with people, and I was working with someone last night, and everything stopped, like my connection with the person, and there was clearly like a spirit present, you know. So it was like all like nothing could go like forward until we sort of cleared whatever was coming up with the spirit that was present. It was like,
so you had to get a message to the person then, right?
I did. I had to.
Have to.
It was. Do you have sort of like a series of just common questions that you might ask, like to receive the information from the spirit, or do you just listen for?
Yeah, it's really mediumship one that I have, that mediumship certification one. Everything is in there. It's so stuck full, shot, you know, really stuffed with all this information. Basic stuff for how to do a reading, basic stuff, the questions you ask the spirit, a way how to present yourself to the person you're doing the reading for, ethics, responsibility, integrity. It's all in there. It's in Mediumship 1. That's really a full course. That's where you'd like to, that's where you should look.
Okay, because I've taken and started but not completed the portal, the psychic portal.
Psychic portals is good, but that's only for the psychic, it's not for the mediumship. So you can use that, you know, to begin with as a foundation. It's a good foundation, just like I said for those children. The psychic is a good foundation, but then you want to go one step further to the mediumship, which is a very different energy. So that's a good start, the psychic portal. Finish that first and then look into the mediumship one.
And I loved what you were just talking about with the kids, because I have a lot of kids that I work with, and they're so aware of other people's energies. And so what would you suggest as far as what would help me to learn how to help them with everything that they're aware of?
Okay. Gotcha. So I would do this. I think kids are lovely, wonderful beings, and they're full of joy and amusement. So make sure when you work with the children, bring amusement into that space. Bring amusement and joy. However you can do that. I mean, I was at a restaurant, and this guy was holding his daughter in the foyer, and she's making these little dancing steps. And I started dancing with her, and she loved it. And her colors changed. So kids love joy and amusement. So bring more of that into the space when you're with the children. They'll love it. They'll have a good time, and they'll also trust you more.
Okay. All right. Well, the kids that I'm working with are a little bit older. They're more like teenage, like 18, 20, 22.
Right. That's young adults. So go with their feelings. What do they feel? Validate their feelings. Go from the head to the heart. So with kids like that, you know, they might have already shut down their emotions. Go to the heart. Have them work with their feelings, their emotions. What is their heart telling them? Try to program them from the heart, not from the head. Okay. That's really the best thing I could tell you.
Yeah, that feels really light, because I think the last person I worked with was very much heady, and it was hard. I didn't have that, you know, awareness to sort of bring it down.
A heart-to-heart connection. So, and if you do you work with children as far as these kids, as far as doing readings with them or energy work with them?
It's a form of energy reading sort of things. Like I do something called the emotion code and the body code, and I use
talking to somebody about that. So what I do, maybe you could do this, connect from heart to heart. So the empathetic cord from your heart to their heart, and have them feel that, and give them a photograph. What do they feel about the photograph? Again, any way you can get to them to feel and open up the emotional self, that's the best part.
Okay. Great.
Okay. All right, honey. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Let's go to our another mystery caller at 973-769.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Stephanie, I'd spoken to you before. I'm doing your writer's course.
What course are you doing?
The Awaken the Writer Within.
Oh, the writer's course. Good for you. How are you doing with it?
It's so exciting.
It is, right?
I'm loving it, yeah. I had spoken to you about a year ago and told you that I had been told that I was supposed to write. I had no idea what I was going to write about. Uh-huh. And I found out that really it's all about my journey.
Exactly.
And there's been like a lot of pain in my journey, and I'm trying to keep the book factual and not, you know, I'm still using it as a form of therapy in a sense.
Yeah.
But the whole idea behind it is to try to write my story in a way that people then could relate to and then hopefully heal from, because I'm going to talk about my process that I went through to heal.
And so what's the question, Stephanie?
I guess I'm getting caught up in my story. I'm almost done with it.
Okay.
But it's like, how do I shift gears?
I got it. So, Stephanie, I'm going to tell you something that will really help you. At least I hope it will help you. So when someone writes a book, and you know, when you sit down to write a book, you got to ask yourself, am I writing this for myself or am I writing it for somebody else? And just like you said, sometimes someone writes a therapy because they need to get it out, and it's good therapy, which it is, by the way. Now, can you turn that therapy book into helping other people? Can somebody in the public, what about your book can change the world? What about your book? What's in there that's different than anybody else's journey? Right? Mm-hmm. You got to ask yourself that. So the best way to do that, Stephanie, is pick one aspect of your journey. Listen, everybody's been through life. It's hard for everybody because the pain is the way we grow. If you don't have pain, you don't grow. Pain is growth. And so you've got to pick one aspect of your journey. That's kind of a strange, weird thing. Maybe a situation that happened that was so bizarre, but yet it led you to a big revelation, an aha moment. And make it, if it's a weird one, that is the better because it gets more interest. But I want you to separate your book from everyone else's book about a self-journey. Otherwise, it becomes the same. It just becomes about you and because of your journey, and nobody else can really relate to it. So you've got to pick something within your journey that's an aspect of there. Whatever that is, forgiveness or self-love, but make it something interesting and put a little twist on it that people think, oh, wow, that's cool. Something like that. Make it really interesting and intriguing and have fun. Make a beautiful painting. Okay?
Yes.
You got it. You know what I'm talking about.
I think I do.
Stretch your mind, honey. Stretch your mind. It's about your journey, but it's also something it's taught you, something positive, an aspect which you didn't expect, something came very surprising. Maybe you went through something, and then later on in life, you helped some other person in a very strange, coincidental way that went through the same thing. So twist it up, make it different a little bit.
Okay.
It'll be more interesting to read.
Okay, yeah, because nobody wants to read my story.
No one wants to read your story, girl. Good, right up of all. So what makes you stick out? What makes yours help someone grow? What's so different than yours and everybody else's story? You got to make it unique.
Okay.
You'll do it. Trust. I have faith in you, Stephanie.
Thank you. I have faith in myself.
Talk to you later. Bye, honey.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Okay, we have a good question from Beverly in the Healer Course. She wants to know, she says, I know a client must be willing to be healed, but what if they say they're willing and then fight you the whole way? It's very frustrating.
Mm. That's an interesting question. That's a very interesting question in that I would have to ask the client, why don't they want to be healed? Well, what's holding back? So Eckhart Tolle talks about the pain body, which is really great. I think everybody has a pain body, with emotional body, physical body, mental body, spiritual body, and I do believe the pain body, which is probably mixed in with the emotional body. But some people get into the pain body so strong and they recognize the pain body and they relate to that and their identity comes tied up into that pain body. So the healer has to ask the person, first of all, when they meet with them, what do you want to heal? What do you feel needs to be healed and what holds you back from being healed? So they got to go through that first. And, the universal energy of healing is always there. It's always there. But the human mind, the human has to open that space up. And, again, like with the first phone call we had, the other call about Dora, about the money situation, they have to feel worthy of healing. What is holding them back from feeling perfect, from feeling loved, from feeling healed? Healing is love. So what's holding them back from receiving that? Very similar to the other question about the money. So that's what the healer has to find out, first of all, what the playing field is like. And before they even attempt anything, it's a little bit of like psychology. Find out what's going on with that person because you want to work with someone who's open-minded, not closed. Otherwise, why would they come?
Okay. Perfect. All right. So back to the phones. We have a Megan at 503 area code.
Megan? Hi, Megan.
Hi, James. Hi.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm not sure which question to ask first, but I'll ask the one.
How about this one question?
yes, I'm sorry. Well, okay, the easiest, simplest one was when I was doing the cleansing, I'm mediumship one doing the cleansing, and I'm in my golden bubble, my golden egg. I'm standing up on top of my shoulders, and all of a sudden I popped my head out through the egg.
Yeah.
And I thought, is this safe?
Oh, God.
And I was curious about that. Is it okay to kind of poke yourself outside through the golden safety bubble or not?
Yes, honey, it's very safe. You have nothing to worry about. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in evil. I don't believe that. I think that the world is love, and I think we are a loving being. And I think around the atmosphere we have is this vibration of love. And that's mm-hmm. really what it is. Really it's the human that creates negativity and the fear. So,
did I create my own then? Because I never believed in evil either.
Yes. And when you're asking a question, I'm thinking, oh, my God, she's in her head. She's in her head.
Yeah.
You're in your
I
head.
I do that quite often.
You need to get back into the heart space, okay?
Okay.
And every day, get in your heart space. I mean, even when you're not even doing the mediumship, day-to-day relationships, get into the heart. See God in every person. Live from the inside out.
Yes, I'm getting back to that. There was a number of years there where I had a lot of emotional and physical trauma, and it finally culminated into depression and stuff, and I've worked my way pretty much out of it and getting back to the original me.
Good girl. And love is the greatest healing force there is, sweetheart. So use that fun love exercise.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Good luck, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a reminder, if you're on the phone and you have a question, press *6. Let's go to Jenny at 954 area code.
954. I'm trying to think where that is.
Oh, hi. I think that's me. It's Jenny.
Where are you, Jenny? Where are you located?
Hi, James. I am in Virginia right now.
Okay.
And I have taken a lot of your courses from 2007 all throughout so many
wow.
years.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you.
And I have taken courses. I have read your books. I'm taking some of your online courses, the HSP in particular, which I have come on HSP over the years. And I have two questions, James. I'm assuming, if you don't mind, I'm assuming that having or experiencing the spiritual development means to raise and heighten your awareness as well as intuition, as well as your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. How do I cope with, I love animals, and I have so much compassion and empathy to animals.
Mm-hmm.
How do I cope with, my question is, how do I cope with knowing there's so much suffering out there and there's so much I can do? To raise awareness to other people about kindness and compassion, that these are sentient beings.
The worst thing you can do is worry about it, okay? That's the worst thing you could do is worry about it, okay? Mm-hmm. So what you can do, sweetheart, in a very productive way, positive way, is help shelters, help adopt, you know, help go and help the animals in some way. You can join animal groups. You can join animal awareness groups. That would be really helpful. I put your mind into that work and being very positive and loving, sending love to the animals, and stepping back and not getting involved in the whole slaughter and the suffering, because that's not going to help them. I don't know what the combination is or what the agreement is between the animals and the humans as far as them coming back here and, you know, us eating meat and so forth. I know animals are great, great teachers. I know of unconditional love, and they can teach us about that. So that's where you want to be with the animals. Get close to the animals, the more you use love. So that you don't overthink it. Just do things that will be positive, that are reasonable, that, you know, that you can actually do. Don't overdo it. You know, don't overthink about it. Just do something in your own little world, and that'll change.
Yes, I have tried to do that. I have talked with people. I have also, you know, have written letters to the editors in a couple of local newspapers, actually in the Keys, because that's where I live mainly. And I have raised some awareness, but there's so much I can do, and it's still
hard. Well, you know, you're one person, so, you know, to change the macrocosm, you got to change the microcosm. And it sounds like you're doing that. You're doing the best you can. Keep it going. Keep it up. Write some blogs about animals. Do some writing about it. That will help as well. That's what I would do. Go shelters. I think you're doing just fine. Just keep on going for it.
Okay.
Don't put your mind in the negative. Be positive and loving. Okay?
Okay, I'm trying.
I know, honey. It's not easy, but you can do it.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks, sweetheart.
Thanks so much for your time. Okay.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to a mystery caller
with no area codes.
A mystery caller with no area codes. Step into the...
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Sandy calling from Ottawa. I'm one of your apprentice graduates.
Oh, good. Good, Sandy.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question, James. I've been doing mediumship for a while, and something happened on Sunday when I was doing some mediumship in one of the spiritualist churches. And I usually do the blending, et cetera. And this time when I was giving a message, something I experienced something that I've never quite experienced before. And that was the grandmother had come in for this fellow, and she was talking away to him. And then, and I felt the strong presence. I felt that I was blending with her, and I could, you know, feel her presence. But she then asked me, and I could hear her say, "I want to take his hand." So I just said to him, "You know, she's asking me to hold your hand." And as soon as I held her his hand, I'm not sure what happened, but I felt like she was absolutely inside of me, and I was her holding his hand.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's exactly right, Sandy. That does happen, and that's exactly what it sounds like. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and he became very emotional, and I did too.
Right.
And so it was like, oh my God, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to break down right here in the church. So I actually just finished off what she had to say to him. And then I just said, God bless. And I left him. And, I mean, I've dealt with people before with traumatic experiences and I've got emotional, but nothing like that. So,
well, Sandy, I just say congratulations.
Yeah.
I think you did an incredible job. And it's such a relief to hear this sort of a call, because most calls aren't like that. I think you did excellent. You did a great job as far as how you handled that. You have to remember, when spirits come to us, the first thing they will try to do is blend with us, but also it's a mind-to-mind communication. So they're telepathically sending into our mind their thoughts, memories, feelings. Now, if this grandmother was a very emotional lady, which she obviously was, you'll feel her more. She wants to be felt more. She wants to be, she wants that feeling, that emotional charge. So remember, every spirit communicates differently because they're all different. So she wanted to use you, not necessarily in a mental mediumship way, but more of a physical mediumship, by the way, which I do think, by the way, you're a good trance medium. I don't know if you've ever told that before. I think Sandy would make a great trance medium. Tony Stockwell's a medium from England. You might have heard of him. He teaches trance.
Absolutely, yes.
So he teaches a good trance class at Omega. I think he just finished this year. But he also worked with John Havoc Church in New Jersey. So go on his website and check it out, because I think you have some really good trance work, gifts, their abilities. But I think you did a great job. I think there have been times when I go up and hug someone because the spirit wanted me to hug them. And that was one more thing I wanted to tell you, Sandy. Churches are fine, but I'm a little about them in some ways, only because the rules, those rules, the isms. Listen, if you make it more real, if you start to cry, guess what? You cry. You have, of course, had to be, like, aware of it. Like, I always will say, if I'm going to cry, I feel like I'm going to cry here, just by saying that.
Right.
Just by saying that you make it more real for your recipient. And you're being honest.
Right.
And being honest and respectful to the spirit. So I think you did a great job with that. I think you were able to provide comfort. You obviously brought some great proof from the grandmother. The grandson felt it. I mean, that's fantastic. Good for you. And you kept your decorum, darling. And I think you're doing great, Sandy. Keep on going.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's just, I thought, oh, my God, I'll be this blubbering idiot in front of all these people. If I have to cry the next time, I guess I'll just cry.
Right, and you know what? People, you can teach people by that. And you know what? Other people think of you as none of your business.
True.
And you know what? If you have to cry a little bit, it's real. And you're going to say, the one thing about spiritualist churches is I can't cry, I'm not supposed to cry. That's not true. You're really in the human condition. And emotions are strong. Love is very strong. I cry every reading I do, I cry. Now, I might not show that, or it might not be as strong as but it's definitely that emotional connection, because that's the coming in. And listen, I think you're doing great. So, you know what? It's okay to show those tears a little bit. That's fine, honey.
Okay. Thanks so much, James.
Good working with you.
Okay, love you.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Shelly is the name coming up at 724.
Hi, James. This is Shelly. How are you?
Hi, Shelly. Good. Where are you calling from?
Good. Well, my number is from Pennsylvania, but I live in Florida. I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida right now.
Okay. What's your question?
Great. So I actually just signed up for your mediumship level one, and I'm super excited about it. But I have a question that I've been assisting earthbound spirits into the light for a handful of years now.
What does that mean?
And I've been helping earthbound spirits go to the light and cross over.
Okay. Now, where did you get that from, that background about earthbound spirits?
Well, I started seeing spirits, like, randomly in my early 20s, and I didn't really know what to do, and they would sort of follow me around and talk to me, and I just didn't really know what to do. And I read this one book by Rose Rosetree, and she actually said to do it. So it was just something I read to do, so I started doing it. But, yeah, it's like too many of them come to me now, and you know, it's like I'm trying to fall asleep and like they're like standing next to me telling me like how they were murdered, and I'm just like, wow.
That's a good show. Marcia, let me help you, honey. And you know what? You might not like it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
So the more you take the mediumship one class, the better it's going to be for you, because I'm a very disciplined teacher. I really no BS with me. It is what it is. That's all it is. And things change. My thoughts about earthbound spirits have definitely changed over the years. I don't necessarily believe in earthbound spirits. I find it very weird because I did the show Ghost Whisperer. I think, really, from the intelligence of the spirit world, I don't think that there's anyone wandering around these earth levels when there's great love, and that's our home, is the spirit side of life. So I don't think anyone's just going to hang out here because they don't want to go over there. Although there are cases where, let's say, somebody is religious and they grew up in a religious household, and maybe they did things in life they were proud of, and then when they pass out of the body, they feel, oh my God, with the light, I might be going to hell. But that's that mindset. Mm-hmm. So you got to remember that earthbound, it might be just a fragment of this soul. It might be an old emotional link of something, like, and that's it. But like, for instance, Gettysburg, there's emotional charges there, okay? I can't say there are spirits there, but definitely there's an emotional charge that happened there. With that, and a psychic or a sensitive will pick up the emotional charge. Are they picking up their spirit? No, not necessarily, but what they pick up is an emotional memory that stays there. So with more spirits, I want you to think of it more as an emotional memory, more than they're stuck here, because I don't believe that necessarily they're stuck.
And listen, that makes complete sense.
And, you know, listen, Ghost Whisperer, I had to do that because at the end of the show, everybody goes to the light and they're very healed. And the show to me was about love and healing and having people question life after death. How we got to it was a little bit dramatic and entertaining, but, you know, no one is really stuck. I don't believe that the intelligence of the spirit world is like people who are stuck. Seriously.
Okay.
It's very human, you know? So I think you're great, Shelley. I think keep on keeping on with the mediumship. Sit in the quiet as often as you can. Like I told the lady earlier, sit in the closet 15 minutes a day would be really good. No distractions. Try to put everything together. We don't have many distractions. And give yourself the time. The more you can do that, honey, the quicker you'll develop. And you also develop that sense of control. You know, when you're open, you're open. When you're not, you're not. And you have to be in control. They're not in control of you. You're in control of them. You're in control of your own space. No one can possess you. That cannot happen. So you're in control of this space.
Okay.
All right.
So basically then what I'm thinking is that what I'm seeing as, like, you know, spirits or maybe, like you said, emotional echoes of people.
It could be. You walk into a space and you're feeling that emotional, the memory of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shelly, just by saying that, I got to let you know also, on the other hand, you know, when a spirit finds a medium that they can use to get a message to their loved one, they'll go to that medium, because we need mediums down here on this earth. We really do. Just like the movie Ghost, you know, Sam went all over the place, found Whoopi Goldberg, and she could hear him. So, I mean, they're often looking for a spirit, but they have no right to come to someone like you if you're not working. If you're not working with somebody, it's not up to you to find somebody, and they know that, and your guides know that. So you got to separate the truth from reality from falsehood.
Okay. Well, I recently had a very significant incident where I'm a social worker, and I went to a domestic violence shelter, and so much stuff came home with me. It was crazy. So I don't know if it was mostly emotional echoes or like what was going on with that, but this is actually what sparked my question really.
Okay.
Is because, yeah, being a social worker and going to these places, is it earthbound spirits? Is it emotional echoes of the pain of the people I'm seeing?
It could be emotional. Listen, it could be emotional remnants in the air. I mean, every space is charged with certain energy. So if you go to these spaces, there's some negative stuff going on, and you're going to feel that. So every morning you take a shower, do that protection exercise. Do that exercise where you bring
I will.
Pain. Please do more of that, especially because you're a social worker and you're opening yourself up to a field of psychic debris. You don't want to bring that stuff home with you. Even when you're walking home or taking the bus or driving, run your energy at that point. Get rid of all that stuff.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
I'm not worried about you, Shelley. I think you're pretty strong. I think you'll be okay. Just get your head
okay,
in the right
Okay, thank
place.
You.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Danny or Janie is the name coming up at 830.
Hey, James. I was wondering, is your higher self and your spirit the same?
Well, your higher self is an aspect of your soul. So let me put it this way. We interchangeably use the term soul and spirit the same. It is not the same. It's different. But I'm also guilty. Many mediums are guilty of doing that. And really what it is this way. The soul is a container of the spirit. So the spirit is the essence, is the life force, and the soul is the container of that. Now, the soul is much more than the physical body. So your soul is way beyond this earth. So 20% of the soul is in the body, 80% is outside the body. So there you go. So, and there are various levels. So one of the higher levels, you evolve, you're going to have a higher self, an oversoul self. So there are different levels to your soul as well. Think of it as the soul is like the sun, and that this human body right now is just one ray of that sun. So your soul is more alive in more levels and spaces and places than you're aware of in the human body. Does that help you? Or does it make
sense? Yeah.
So think about that.
I also wanted to ask you, during meditation, at times the monkey chatter of my mental brain starts. How do I keep my mind
focused? Okay, honey. So this is for everybody that's calling in here and listening, because it happens to every one of us when you do a meditation, especially when you're starting or beginning a meditation. That you're always going to have little words coming in, thoughts coming in, the monkey mind, as you say. If you're sitting there doing your breathing, getting that nice silent space, but it's hard to find the silence because you're going to always have those little thoughts about, oh my God, should I have chicken or fish tonight for dinner? Oh, I can't think that way. And then you go back to your breathing. And then you think, and then you go, and then, oh, you hit the lawnmower from the neighbor. What are they going to stop with that lawnmower? So what you really want to do, sweetheart, is think of it like you're a boat. And you're a boat on the water. And when you're a boat on the water, you're going to have ripples that are going to rock that boat. So meditation away is the same thing, in that if we go in with the awareness that we're in this space, and in that space there's going to be these random thoughts that come into our mind, that's fine. Let them come in. That's fine. Let them come in. Acknowledge them. And let them go. Then go back to your breath.
Okay, so that's normal.
Yeah, that's very normal. And then go back, honey, go back to your breath. Your breath is your grounding. So always go back to the breath. So when you have that little thought, let it go and go back to your breathing pattern again. That will help.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's go to Darnell is the name coming up at 707.
Hi, James.
Hi, Darnell. How are you?
I took your HST class, and I was calling to see if you could just point me in a direction, because all of this is fairly new to me, and I'm very, I like to do a bunch of different things, start a bunch of different programs, and learn a bunch of different things, but I just need, to be pointed in the right direction.
Are you a Gemini?
Cancer.
You're a Cancer. Okay. Okay, so how far along are you on the HSP class?
I think I've finished week 6.
Okay, so, first of all, Cancer is very sensitive. So that HSP course is perfect for you because it'll help you with ways of being aware of the space and, as you know, and the energy. So you'll always be the nurturer and you'll feel things more than most people. So that's fine. I can't answer what you should do with your life because that's up to you, not to me. You know, and we can't do a spiritual bypass because you got to go through. You got to go through the program. You got to go through life. But I will tell you that you're a nurturer. You're a bit of a healer too, and any work that you can do around people, or homes of people, or that's what you want. That's what your soul will want. Your soul will want to nurture people. Your soul will want to help people. Your soul will want to be around people. So now we've had two or three people in these phone calls calling themselves social workers. Believe it or not, Darnell, that would be good work for you, something along that line, social working, therapeutic
work. Okay, I'm a nurse.
Oh, you're a nurse. There you go. You're a healer. All right, there you go. I have a
special connection with babies and children, and I wonder what that is, and I don't know what it is.
Well, I think that's great. Are you a pediatric nurse?
No, not yet.
Well, why don't you become a pediatric nurse? I think you'd be great with that. I think you're definitely a healer, but I think your wheelhouse would be with children. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that you could help them start off really, really well in this world, especially if you teach them and help them with the philosophy that, you know, that they believe in themselves, that whatever people think of them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Give them that courage to really believe in themselves. I think you could do really well in that space. Starting the life off. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So anything you can do with that, maybe start a pediatric nurse, but then and a social, maybe there's a social worker for children, some kind of something with that. You know what I mean? I remember I was in the hospital when I was 10 years old, 9 years old. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And it was for a kid, it was so scary. And there was really nobody to speak to, like an adult, who I could really speak to.
Mm.
And I miss that. And I don't know if they have something like that now, Darnell. But if they don't, would you please start it? Because the world needs that. So however that can be in medical sense, that can work, whether it's getting the therapeutic counseling, maybe to a therapeutic counselor, and put it, and that should be your specialty as children, I think you do really well So I would go toward that.
The other thing, though, is that I'm closer to working with hospice patients. It's just closer
That's
to my field that I'm in.
That's another fabulous job. Hello?
What's that?
That's another fabulous job.
Okay.
That's a compassion. That's had a lot of, you know, you do. You have a lot of compassion, and you got to share it. So either way, before or after, before life begins or to the end of it, either way. So whatever it leads, you can do both even.
Yeah. Okay.
End of life doula is another one. It's called end of life doulas. That's very popular.
Okay. Cool.
Great, Darnell. Lots of love, honey. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's go to a mystery caller at 334 area code.
A lot of mystery callers today.
No.
Hello, this is Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. Why are you a mystery?
I'm going to tell you, I'm a mystery to myself, and that was one of the questions I had. It's true. But I did talk to you. I did the highly sensitive person, but I did talk to you a month ago also, and I lost my 3-year-old chihuahua to a snake bite, and it like slung me out into space, and I'm trying to get back to earth now.
Your chihuahua's fine. Your chihuahua's around you, you know, running around like crazy. But they're fine. So don't hold that space that you would hold him back, because it's free, and that's what they want you to be. They want you to think of him as free, and he's with you. And you know, you talk to him all the time anyway. He jumps on your lap all the time. So good. So what else?
Yeah, because, you know, I always felt myself as an intuitive healer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was walking around, you know, dancing through the tulips, like, you know, and then I just, bam, you know, fell off in a hole. But so that developing my intuitive and knowing the difference between discernment, and these are the things that now I feel like I'm being led to do. My husband's like, well, you just need to just go on and just pretend like life is just one dimension. I'm like, I've always been a strange, weird kid, and I can't because I don't fit in any other way.
None of us fit in that are on this call, which is great because we're honoring our uniqueness, which is both. You know, that's really interesting you say this, Valerie, because everybody on this call can relate to that. Everybody that in my world, we're always grew up loners. We have to be that way to teach people. We got to be unique, and our light is different because that's how people will learn by showing who we truly are. And if we do that, then they can be who they are. It gives them permission. So, you know, you could say to your husband, honey, that works for you, but not for me. I see things a little differently. We both have different realities. And being as sensitive as you are, you will see things differently. You'll feel things differently. Never compare yourself to other people, because that's a bad one. That's an illusion. That's a bad thing to do. Be that strong person you are and live in those multi-dimensions. That's who you are. We're all in multi-dimensions all the time. And the one dimension might work for him, but not for you. You know, don't settle. You know, you gotta be yourself, honey. The world needs you.
Yeah, James, and you've been wonderful, and you have pulled me through a lot of stuff that I haven't been able to talk to people because I live so far out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go grocery shopping to actually communicate with people because there's nobody, there's no neighbors. So,
you know what, Valerie? I don't talk to neighbors. I don't talk to people. I love being behind my gate, and I stay in my house the whole time because I have the garden and I have nature, and I love that nature really fulfills us. And I think, especially being sensitive as you are, nature is really good for you to ground yourself all the time. If you want to get more to the healing arts and the intuitive healing arts, you could always volunteer at an animal shelter, perhaps. Something like that might work for you.
Yeah.
I think you're doing fine. Just believe in yourself, too. You know, you believe
in yourself. I appreciate that, but I feel like sometimes they see me coming before I even get in the door, because I bring my energy in there. And I need to work on that. And I was just wondering if you had any, which direction of kind of courses do you kind of say that I need to develop my intuitive and my discernment better, because I'll ask questions and I'll get the answer after something happened. I'm like, I needed that yesterday.
Yeah. Psychic portal would be the one you should take. Don't you think, Emily?
Okay. Yeah, the psychic certification.
Yeah, and a psychic certification course would be really good for you. It's a really basic, good course, a lot of good information. It also, I go into a lot of things about, I don't say protection, but being mindful of your space and the energy space you're in and the energy space you walk into, so you'll be able to discern that. It's all about discernment, that course. That's great. And I know you have some great spaces where you live to sit in the quiet, so good for you.
A lot of land out here where I live, and there's a lot of, I don't say ghosts because I've never seen one particularly, but there's poltergeist activity, and I've had shadows come visit me. So this is how I've been walking through nature, and I found you, and I'm like, oh, God, there's somebody in the world that I can listen to and get help from, and all your callers have been calling in with great questions. And
let me share something with you, too, because, life is about love, and the universe is love. And we got to be very careful how the human mind works creating things, creating poltergeists. And those things do exist, but you got to rise above that. So anytime that you want to go into clear a space and to energize a space, to clean out a space, I should say, as well, whether it's your house, whether it's the land you live in, you can always use your thought. Thoughts are real. So if you're going to hold the thought for 3 seconds, it's yours. Okay. And what I do is I imagine a beautiful, loving, golden sunlight, a beautiful bubble of sunlight coming down through my house into every single corner of every single room. I bathe the entire space and my whole house, around the house, in the house, with this beautiful, loving energy of golden light. And really, any stagnant energy, old energy, other people's thought forms, I envision them going straight down to Mother Earth. Mother Earth is like a magnet, and she'll pull that debris because she needs the fertilizer. So you can do it that way, or you can imagine going out the door, the front door. Listen, sometimes what I've done before, which really works too, because I like ritual, and what I would do is, there was an old thing I've read somewhere, and I included one of my books, where you go through each room like a sweeping motion, like you sweep out the energy into the hallway, whether you're the second floor or first floor, you sweep it all into the hallway, to one place, by the front door, okay? The front door, you have a pot of water. You're sweeping all that energy open the front door. You sweep all the energy into that water. Just imagine it going to the water, and you take that water and you dump it out of the curb.
Okay.
And it works. I'm telling you, it works.
No, everything you've taught works, James, and I appreciate that because I really needed that. I will use it.
Good. Use it. You'll love it.
So when I walk into a place and I can feel that they can feel me, because sometimes I feel like I have to hide who I am, I know.
What I do, honey, is I live from the inside out. So what I do is before I go to a space, you know, every morning I do that programming. I program myself. I program my space around me. But, you know, I have the whole thing. I mean, my guide go before me and show me the way. You'll learn that, in the psychic course. But if you want to do that, you want to program your day, and then love, 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 love. So when you walk in that space, they should look at you and smile.
Okay.
And make sure that you have a reputation in your life to say, wow, she's a wonderful lady. Wow, she's a good woman. Wow. That's how you want to make sure people remember you, that you're a good kind.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, James. This has been a great healing moment. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Valerie. Thank you on behalf of everybody.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
You're wonderful, and I love everything about your life, and I appreciate
you
sharing.
Where do you live, Valerie? What part of the world?
I'm in Lafayette, Alabama. It's a town where time forgotten. They still close down the businesses at 12 noon. Here, they actually filmed Mississippi Burning in this town. This is how old this town is.
Wow.
And I know there's a lot of old towns. Yeah, but I'm living on an over 700-acre tree farm, and there's nothing but trees here, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I remember speaking to you before. I remember I was jealous or envious, whatever the word. Enjoy. You got to bring your light to that place, that part of the world. So remember that. You know, you're put into places where you need to share your light. I once visited a friend in Ohio. She lived in northern Ohio. And I drove from Chicago to her house in Ohio. And I passed church at the church, Christian church at the top. They're on top of each other. And I said to this lady, Jordy, my best friend, very spiritual lady, I said, Jordy, why would you be living in a space where all these Christian fundamentalist churches are? And she said, I got to go with my life's got to go with the darknesses. I got to open up with the ignorance. I got to open up the limitations. And that's what my job is. And I love that. And that's like with you too, Valerie. We're all put in a position, in a place where we live, to share our light, to open up spaces. So that's good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Because you've been a lifesaver, I'm just going to tell you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, well, I think that's it for today, James.
Okay, Emily, thank you very much, and thank you, everybody. And anybody on the phone call, I want you to think about maybe if you call to you, the Soul Retreat in Mexico on March 1st to 6th in 2019. It's very safe. We're going to go. It's a big retreat center out on the beach. We're going to do meditations in the water. We're going to go to different levels of your soul. So if you're interested, please go to my website, vanprog.com, and look at the details. And have a great day, and thank you, Emily. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thanks.